If it's safe to do so, just close your eyes for a sec and think about the Australian bush. What can you hear? Maybe a kookaburra or a rush of wind through a gum tree? Or are you actually hearing?
It's July and the winter sun is shining, and the Cootamundra wattle is my friend.
The bush was John Williamson's first muse, and it sparked a five-decade-long career bringing this wide brown land to life in song. His service to country music has earned him dozens of accolades. He's been made a member of the Order of Australia. He's inspired countless other songwriters. But lately, John Williamson has turned his attention to the next generation, penning children's books. And just like his music, John's books have a special way of connecting young people to our natural world. You are about to hear from John Williamson himself, but tell us, when you think of the Australian bush, where does your mind go? Is it a particular place? Do you have a memory or a song? John is a judge for this year's Awards for Children's Literature run by the Wilderness Society. John Williamson, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Tegan. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to be speaking with you. Talking about songs and the bush, do you have in your mind the first song you ever heard about the Australian bush?
Oh, that's a good question. I wasn't ready for that one. No, I think it was just, the legends in our industry, like Buddy Williams and Tex Morton and Slim Dusty. Their songs were always situated in the bush, I guess. Not necessarily singing about the bush, but they were always in the bush. I think I've been one of the few that actually start describing it, you know, what the trees are, you know, whether they're brigalows or river gums or whatever. But that's a hard one to answer. I think it's mainly my passion has come from actually being a kid to a farmer, you know, a farmer's son in the Mallee in Victoria, and I used to collect birds' eggs with my mate, and that was a wonderful hobby, and we were taught by the Guild League of Bird Lovers not to take any more than one egg, but what it did was taught me what the bush was and what it was there for, basically, and every bird has a different way of nesting, and then when we moved from the Mallee to Northwest New South Wales, the farming country there, the only tree I knew was the river gum. So all of a sudden here I'm realising how different every part of Australia is. So many parts of Australia, the birds are different and the trees are different. And I, slowly but surely, I'm falling in love with the nature of the country and how amazingly diverse it is. And it tends to come into my music.
I think it comes through so strongly in your music, this sense of the landscape. What are you, what sort of got you into putting that into song?
My passion for it. And what I haven't mentioned is we actually were clearing. A lot of it was, the country we are moving into hadn't been farmed, but it had been ringbarked probably 80 years before. And as I'm starting to fall in love with this different bush, I'm starting to say, Dad, let's not knock it all over. You know, let's leave the shade lines and there's clumps of trees at least, because they're wonderful things. And I guess that's where my conservation attitude started from, actually being one of the people that's clearing it.
Well, how did that land when you were talking to a farmer about trying to protect trees when he was like, oh, I need to get some use out of this land here?
Yeah. Well, obviously there's a conflict. I haven't really been, I understand the farmer's point of view, obviously. I'm something like six or seven generation farming, and it's beautiful soil, like the Northwest. Well, I couldn't believe how beautiful the soil was compared to the sandy clay stuff in the Mallee. And you could dig your feet into it just walking amongst the trees, you know, like plough it up with your foot. And brigalows, for instance, were legumes, so they're putting a lot of nitrogen into the soil. And you could actually pick your farming country by the trees. In fact, we soon found out if you've got a mixture of brigalow, blaar, wilga, you've got the best soil you can get. And unfortunately, that meant the end of the brigalow blaar wilga.
Yeah.
But You know, all those things that made me realise just that every so many areas have their own character. You know, because of the trees, and if you wipe all that out, you've just got a billiard table, and there's the character of the country is gone. Thank God for stock routes that have been saved, you know, right through New South Wales.
So the trees and the birds you mentioned before, you actually have one of your most famous songs was inspired by your favourite bird's call.
Oh, butcher bird, yeah. Yeah, and it was a conservation song because that was Rip Butcher.
Yeah.
It was actually up because I got a cottage on a cliff in the Great Divide above the Gold Coast. And it's got two areas of bush, even on the 180-acre block. Like where the house is all eucalypts and it's on a rocky ridge. And you look over the tropical, subtropical rainforest and there's no trees in that are similar in either. They're all completely different. So proving my thought about the trees pick their own country. What was the question?
Oh, just Rip Rip Woodchip as a bit of a conservation anthem.
Yeah, I was going to give you the I was going to give you the call. I heard the bird there, the butcher bird, was going, and that happens to be the first line of "Over the hill I go, killing another mountain." Yeah.
What sort of?
They're very musical butcher birds. They actually whistle. They all got their own tunes, and they all. And you can actually put them down to music in our Western music style or whatever you call it. You know, they sing in our scale. Yeah.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm talking to country music legend John Williamson. We're talking about the bush, and I'd love to know what comes to mind when you think of the Australian bush. Is there a place you go? Is there a song that comes to your mind? Sally says, my mind goes to Bungawogai, creek near Roma in Queensland. It means place of round rocks in the Aboriginal language there. Chris says Springbrook in Queensland, having recently visited John and Meg's Willowshed concert at their property. Yes, Springbrook is your place now, John.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But I guess because I'd brought up in wheat country where it's flat and you can't see very far. I love the mountains because, looking over the Nambour Valley is an absolute joy. I probably have a beer at 5 o'clock every day when I'm there just to watch the sun go down and the birds, incredible variety of birds. Yeah, so, and I'm trying to learn all the names of the trees, but I'm still learning.
There's a lot of trees around that area. We were talking before about Rip Rip Woodchip as a bit of a conservation anthem. Is that what you thought it would be when you wrote it?
Well, it came from anger, you know. You can hear my attitude about the character of the country. Well, to be actually clearing forests, completely wiping them out, you know, like shearing a sheep's flesh, mm-hmm. It's wool, you know. So it's I got really angry. That's why I wrote it. I don't know. They say it did help the cause. I mean, it's all very well to go and select logs out, which the forest where we are, there's been selectively logged, which is fine, but to actually wipe it out and turn it into paper and wood chip or, you know, into hardboard or whatever, that to me is a real sin. You know, you're wiping out the character, you're wiping out so much wildlife. Yeah. I think after that they started to do it in checkerboard systems, but it was still pretty devastating.
So that's not the only song of yours that's had sort of taken on a bit of a political edge. True Blue, one of the really big ones for you. It's been interpreted in a lot of different ways, but what do you think it means to be True Blue in 2026?
Nah, you're talking. It's True Blue is not actually being. It's not a patriotic statement for me. It's more about the way the little town was when I lived in Quambatook. It's probably still the same, where you didn't lock your car, you didn't lock your doors in the house, you could trust everybody, you know, and everybody looked after everybody else. It was just a natural way for me as I was brought up in Quambatook, you know. That's the way everybody was. There was three different churches, but that didn't separate us. We all played football together and Yeah, and it's not about, I wish I hadn't put "is it a dying race" in the song, because that really means a dying style of people rather than a race. You know, which, because it really bothers me if any of these white supremacist kind of people try to use my song. I've objected to that a few times now, but True Blues, just where you, well, another thing is where your promise is your bond. You know, if someone says you're fair dinkum, when you say something, you say you fair dinkum, well, you'd better be if you're True Blue.
So you performed it as a tribute at the Adelaide Oval during the Ashes after the Bondi Massacre. At that moment, what were you hoping that song would mean for the people listening?
I must say that I wasn't sure whether it was the right song, but it was my song. They did suggest at when they rang me up to do "We Are You Are What We Australian" thing, that I can't even think what it's called.
I am.
But I said no. I want to sing my song True Blue, because now you've heard me describe what I think it is. I guess that's what I'm trying to get across. And when I saw all the people crying in the crowd, I thought, well, you know, and I think also that because it says, "Is it me and you, is it mum and dad?" It's actually asking the question. So people, when they're listening to it, think, you know, what is True Blue? And they immediately think about their mum and dad or their grandpa or their mates or whatever. But the good things about being Australian, I guess.
You're listening to Life Matters here. It's ABC Radio National. I'm talking to John Williamson about his music, about the bush, and I'm asking you what the bush means to you. So many people celebrating the bush. One says, "We had Cootamundra Wattle playing at our wedding ceremony in Tara 38 years ago with cockatoos screeching overhead. Love, John Williamson." Katie says, "I grew up in outback Western Australia. Red dirt, mining country, sparse but beautiful. I now live in Victoria's high country in the foothills of the Victorian Alps, lush, wild and serene. Love every bit of this country." Yeah, John, it's a country of contrasts.
Well, you couldn't be more contrasting than the Pilbara and the high country in Victoria. They're very special. In fact, I think the Pilbara is the most amazing landscape to paint. I'll get into a bit of art. I'm going to get more into it now. I've slowed down. But the Pilbara is absolutely amazing. All these feminine red hills with spin effects, covered in spin effects, and the odd white snappy gum, you know. And then you could have black people walking through it, and you've got all the contrast you want.
So you're judging these Children's Literature Awards for the Wilderness Society. The shortlist has been announced today. What did you see coming through when you were looking at the shortlist?
Well, I don't pretend to be someone who's an expert on what gets to kids, to be quite honest. I've written some kids' songs, but they're nearly always funny ones. I know that always works. But it's a hard thing to judge what actually gets through to the kids. You know, I think it's important for them to know why they should plant trees of koalas. Like, for instance, that's one of the books about planting trees of koalas. But I was thinking, I'd like to do a book because I've been involved in, you know, in clearing country, and maybe a little boy could be saying to dad, "There's koalas in this area. Can we not knock that over?" You know, you could make a great story for little kids with something that's actually practical to where they live. And you could plant a tree on the Gold Coast of koala right down here in the sand and make no difference at all. But there are koalas sometimes up at Springbrook. Any kids around there should be kind of encouraged to know what the koalas eat. I'm not an expert in kids' books, but my songs have been made into kids' books.
But you're an expert on your own experience, right? And you grew up in the bush. Do you think today's kids have the access that they need to love the country the way you do?
Oh, gee, I don't know how you instill that, but I've got one thing and I'm glad. I hope there's a lot of people listening out there on the land. If I don't know how far you reach,
but we're Radio National, so we go everywhere.
Okay, country towns. Any school teachers listening, and I suppose they're all school, but I'd love to see every school create a a period where all the kids come out, maybe a certain class they get into, the year they get into or something, or maybe the whole lot of them go out and actually have an expert in the town that knows the names of all the trees and actually discover what tree is unique, what trees are unique to their area. And I was never told what, you just lived in it, but no one ever told you that it was unique. And it's because we moved up to north, I didn't realise it. And I've sort of gone back since and thought, oh, I'm going to learn more about these trees now because they're quite unique, I think it'd be great. That would protect the country a lot if every little kid brought up in school knowing what is unique to their area. It might be a bottle tree in Queensland somewhere, but it is quite different every town you go to. And it happens a bit around the country. I've seen a bit where you come into a Mallee town or something, but I don't think it's happening enough.
Getting kids connected with the land that they're on. John Williamson, thank you so much for joining me.
No worries, Tegan.
John Williamson, country music pioneer, speaking to me today as a judge for the Children's Literature Awards for the Wilderness Society. And I've been asking you what the bush means to you and what John Williamson means to you. Leah says, I switched Radio National on this morning and within seconds of hearing his voice, I knew which legend was speaking. Memories of road tripping from northern New South Wales to Cairns in 1990 and playing John Williamson's family album on cassette tape on repeat for 3 weeks. I can still remember every word to every song. Danny says, my heart and mind go to the Victorian High Country and Southwest Tasmania. The wilderness areas of these places rejuvenate the soul. The multi-day hikes in Southwest Tasmania, both challenging and invigorating. Yes, we're talking about the Australian bush this morning. Here's a little bit of it, courtesy of Dr. Anne Jones of What the Duck fame. One more. Denise says, Cootamundra Wattle, beautiful song. Melinda Schneider also has a lovely version. My daughter spent a year at school in France many years ago. In one very homesick letter following a drive in the country, she said, there's no way you can describe the Australian bush to someone overseas.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.